Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your grace, thank you for your goodness, thank you for your faithfulness over the past week, Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to begin a new week, Lord, in the service of the Lord. Magnifying the Lord, praising your holy name, Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your loving kindness this morning. Even your loving kindness is better than life. Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord, just a short time to that, we read scripture this morning. Lord, we ask that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless the reading of your word, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I want to turn the Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, the 7th verse. So it says, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, but be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I will take a step from that by the grace of God, tried by fire. That is the subject, tried by fire. Well, the experience of, where it began from Moses. The experience of Moses set precedent of faith as it's tried by fire. Almost all of God's children throughout the ages go through all kind of trial or the other. So let's look at Moses in Exodus 2, a familiar story to many Bible readers. So Exodus 2, 11 through verse 15. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their body and espied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he threw the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrew strove together. And he said to him that he did wrong, wherefore smiting down the fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intended thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Well, so we see that's a known story. So here we are told that when Moses attained maturity, right, he identified himself with Israel, right, which I will say a nation that is in bondage, right, and in bondage, you know, to the Egyptian. God has told Abraham in Genesis 15, right, that this will be the case. They will be there for 400 years. So it came to pass anyway. They will be in bondage to the Egyptians. Rather than be with the royal house of the Pharaoh, the reigning dynasty at that time, so he lined up with the children of Israel, you know. So, and we are further given information about this humble, act of Moses in Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to year, refused to recall the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction, with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a moment or a season, and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, you forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So we see that Moses took this step of faith, great faith indeed, a step which will cost him all he had. Yes, he did. He was in the king's house, in the palace, and so forth, as you know. And here is what he did. He took a land up with his brethren. Anyway, that being the case, we might have the justified in predicting that this action will make him to be the hero, right, of a successful revolt of the Hebrews against Egyptian oppression. I mean, he defended his fellow man, right? You may think that, oh, this is an hero that will save the Jews from the hand, you know, of the Egyptian oppression. What do we find out? Instead, he transformed him into the leader of a flock of sheep, right, in the backside of the desert. For Israel would none of him. So Israel rejected him, as it were, and Pharaoh wanted to slay him, talking about tribe by fire, right? So he was doing, he wanted to do well with his brethren who are in bondage, who are being afflicted, and they rejected him, right? And Pharaoh sought to kill him, you know? So instead of leading the people of Israel at that time, he became, you know, a leader of flock of sheep in Midian. So we see. So what was the matter? What was it? You know, the scripture says, it was faith in God's word that caused Moses to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but rather prefer to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for his sin. And precisely because it was faith, and I will say, a faith more precious than gold, like we began with and so on, that, you know, it has to be tried, you see? Has to be tried. So, and that all mixture of dross might be removed. So the faith, being treated like gold, right, has to be tried. That all the dross upon that faith might be removed. So being tried by fire, right? So when Moses stepped out that day and defended his countryman against the Egyptian who was attacking him, it looked possible and even probable that he might deliver Israel. You know, that's what it looks like. You know, so why? He was 40 at that time, right? From what we see, he was 40 years old. And he was in the prime of his youth, right? His tenant powers were at their zenith at that time. And they had been carefully developed, you see, and cultivated by studious application under the best teachers there was in the land, you know, of that day, you know. And we read somewhere that he was vested in all the learning of the Egyptians. Even in the book of Proverbs, we are told somewhere, the wisdom of the Egyptians, you know. Anyway, know that Egypt was the first empire, right? No doubt, he wielded a tremendous influence at that time, you know, of his life, upon those around him. You know, its native ability combined with his exalted position will ensure that he may have said to himself, I just kind of paraphrase this one, I will just try to go through what was in mind at that time. So he's just 40 years old, at the prime of his youth, having favor with all the people, was the palace of the Pharaoh. So maybe he can say to himself, you know what, the time is ripe for the Exodus. Where did he hear about the Exodus? Abraham, God told Abraham that this thing will happen, and he must have passed it down through the line until that time. So when his parents were, remember how he was brought up? He was brought up in the house of his parents, right? The Pharaoh's daughter gave him back to his parents. You know the story of that. He must have told him everything about from Abraham down the road. So he might be thinking, you know what? That the time is now right for the Exodus, in accordance with the word of God, spoken to Abraham and handed down from father to son till it reached him. You know, I'm going to read his mind right now. God has revealed to me, he will think, that I am the chosen instrument for the execution of his purpose concerning his people. Maybe he think, he has fitted me. God has, you know, he'll be thinking himself, God has fitted me for this purpose, you know, this work, by a chain of providence, nothing short of miraculous. And now, when my powers are at their best, 40 years old, right, you know, in the prime of manhood, I must accomplish this task and so on. Maybe just reading through Moses' mind at that time. Well, in other words, he seems to have a trusted partly in the word of God, and partly in favorable circumstances and conditions. He was well favored, he was in the king's palace, and so on, that you know, he is strong, and so on, that you know, he knows the story, why he should go, one day they will go back home. So he's thinking, now is the time for me to, you know, maybe I'm the chosen leader. Let me just, you know, and so on, that you know. Well, in that kind of a thinking, I will say there was gold there, so to say. So that's a golden part of Israel. I'm in the prime of you, I'm well fitted to do this job. I think God has chosen me and so on and that, you know. But on that gold, I will tell you, so to say, there was also dross, a dross that covered the gold, right? And so on that, you know. I also say it's also dross. And the promise is this, in Isaiah, for you and I, 125 of Isaiah. So you have the gold, you have the dross. So we see the application, Isaiah 125. And I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross. You know, we can learn from there. Isaiah 125. Me, your faith now be more precious than gold tried in the fire. See, I said that, you know. So anyway, so that gold that of your faith has dross on it. And the Isaiah said, and I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross. So Moses was excluded this kind of thing that God said he will do. So to the backside of the desert went Moses, that he might learn to believe that a thing was so and will be made manifest simply because God says so. That is it. You have to go and learn that lesson. You know, that a thing will be so or be made manifest simply because God says so. And not on account of circumstances or conditions. You know, so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the Bible says. And the things, you know, and the things that faith produces or cause into existence are merely shadows. So faith is the substance, right? Whatever faith produces, it's just a shadow. You know, and so that, you know, cast by the real substance. Faith rests on the word of God, absolutely unmoved by appearances. Faith was never was moved by the appearances. Whether favorable appearances, favorable or even reverse. At times, what you are thinking or you are believing God may be in reverse, but faith stands on God's word alone. So again, faith rests on the word of God, absolutely unmoved by appearances, whether favorable or the reverse. And could, if necessary, how long will it stay there on the word of God? It could, if necessary, rest there for all eternity. There's no timing to it. God has said so, it will come to pass. Praise the Lord. That's how faith works, you know. That's how we should see faith. So if you take an eternity away to come to pass, so be it. God says so, right? We will stay right there. Doesn't matter how long it takes. No time to stay there. So anyway, sublimely content, resting there, right? That the thing is. It is because God says so, right? Appearances to the contrary, notwithstanding. The thing is because God says so. Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So what kind of faith is that? So we are told in Psalm 33 verse 9. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it took fire. That's how we should be thinking about the promises of God to us and so on. And so for 40 long years, Moses remained in the wilderness. Talking about faith tried by fire, right? Remained in the wilderness, leading his father's in-laws sheep to pasture. Well, as far as God appointed, he knew he had the call of God, you know. As far as God appointed, life work went, what happened to that? It was apparently an utter failure to that point. All those 40 years in the wilderness and so on, it was an utter failure, you know. We say only apparently utter failure because he was burning away the dross. That was happening to him in the wilderness. It was that gold that he had, the golden faith he had, in that affliction, was burning away the dross, you know, upon that faith. There, in the furnace of bitter disappointment, you can see how he left it. Want to help his fellow people, thinking that he was the ordained of God. Look at what he got back. His people turned against him. Pharaoh turned against him. Can you imagine? So he was in the desert. What was he doing there? Burning away the dross. You know, upon his faith, right? So about time and so on, that you know. So the disappointment and so on, the discouragement that came to him and that, you know, So, but what are they? It's just burning away the drug that was resting upon his face. So, now, there was a protracted delay in the real thing coming to pass, right? 40 whole years. And it was in self-despair until at last when God came to him. So all those 40 years, the drug upon the gold of his faith was being burnt out. Took 40 years, oh yes, something like that, you know. Until when God now called him in Exodus 3:10. And God said, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So for 40 years, you know, the drug was being burnt out. At the appropriate time, God called him. And here is his response in verse 11 to God. And he said, Moses said unto God, who am I that as you go unto Pharaoh, and that as you bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? In other words, who am I? You know, a miserable failure. He will say, I'll just read through his mind now. A miserable failure, forgotten by the Egyptian and Israelites alike, a dead man out of mind, that I should go again to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, running through his mind. To this we notice something, that God had not one single encouragement comment on what Moses said. Rather, here's what God said in verse 12. Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain, this mountain, and where you are at. That is a sign to you. I'm going to bring them out, and the sign is this, that when you bring them out upon this same mountain, you will bring them out right there. And it happened anyway, in the course of time. Well, so we see that now. God said unto Moses, in Exodus 3:14, oh, sorry, I think I missed something there. So, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, I shall say unto them, the God of your father, that's 13 verse of Exodus 3, and when I shall, now it's time to now oblige to God to go, right? Then ask God a question. When I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, in verse 14, I am that I am. See? And he said, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. So the Lord, as our father said, man just thinking, what God would have been saying, that he said, well, you know what, Moses, it doesn't matter who you are, and you can learn from his life. It doesn't matter who you are, Moses, or how impossible the task set before you, for I will be with you, you see. I have spoken, and I will make it good. No matter what God said before you, whatever task it is, no matter how impossible it is to man, God is with you. And he will see you through it to get it accomplished. Praise the Lord. What a task before him. And like somebody said, one preacher said, a one-man invasion of Egypt. Amen? Praise the Lord. A one-man invasion of the whole of the land of Egypt, right? The greatest campfire in the world at time and so on, with a single man with a rod, right? And all the Amori and the army of Israel, right? Who am I? Praise God. Man with God, that is nothing. Don't worry about yourself, Moses. I sent you. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now we see the idea. What has Moses learned in this experience? This is it. Moses' first lesson was that he could not do the work God had called him to do with all his powers at their very best. Even the power, he couldn't do it. And now he was to learn that even though he was reduced to utter powerlessness, 80-year-old man, there was no possibility of his failing to accomplish it. if he went in the strength of the Lord alone. Now, that's the man that if I go in the strength of the Lord alone, it will be done. Amen? So we are learning from there, you know. So that's what I believe we learn. What's our own lesson at home? And what have we learned from this experience of Moses? In our own case, we sometimes say to ourselves, you know, we are standing on the promises of God. Well, I'm standing on the promises of God. That's good. But watch now. Well, as a matter of fact, we are partially supported by God's word and partially by circumstances and conditions which appear to make its fulfillment possible or probable or even more imminent. Yeah, we have the promise of God, right? But we are standing on circumstances that look like, oh, they say the possible and so on, you know, not only on God's word, right? One leg on God's word, one leg on circumstances that we look like make the thing probable or possible or even imminent to come to pass, you know, maybe a certain date now, you know. So, oh, it's imminent. So, but so we say that, yeah. So, and so now, one eye is on the promise of God, but the other is keeping a keen lookout on the things which are seen, you know. If this is any time we are in this position, we are in kind of a trouble, right? So if this is our state, we may as well pack up and get ready for, you know, a trip to the back desert, like Moses did, because he was looking at his strength at that time. Now is the time, and so on, set a time for himself. I have all the things I need to do to get them ready and so on. But look at what happens to himself. So if we are looking at the promise of God, you know, he had a promise, right? That told him that they're going to go out of this place, right? By students and so on, you know. Now I'm strong now, I'm a king, but I can do it now, I can do it now, see? Set a time for himself. But the timing was wrong. Yeah, he had the promise of God, but he's looking at himself, his strength, and know who he is and so on. So we too, we can learn this from here. So when we have the promise of God, don't worry about the circumstances that may make it probable and so on. If we are doing that, we can as well do it as Moses. Just get our things packed up and begin to go. You know, begin to go to the back side of the desert, you know, so that we have the same kind of experience. So we are absolutely sure of being pleased. If we do that to any of the prophetic promises, we are absolutely sure of being placed in the furnace. For fire is the only agent which can remove that dross from the gold of our faith, like Moses and so on. It will take fire, you know, do that. And we shall stay there, we are going to stay there until, you know, just as long as God sees it to be necessary. And we are told in Malachi 3:3, what I'm saying now, Malachi 3:3 says this: and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. And he said, you know, the sons of Levi, the priest, you are a king and a priest, amen. Praise the Lord. We are kings and priests. Praise God. So God will make us to be that way and, you know, kind of purify us and so on. So, yes, the Lord shall sit. Like he said in Malachi, he will sit. His work is unhurried and thorough. He's not in a hurry like you and I. His work is unhurried and is thorough. He will purge and try us until we, on the authority of God's word alone, unhesitatingly call the things that be not as though they were, things of which there does not appear to be no so much as a vestige of probability or even possibility of coming to pass. Romans 4:17. So it makes us to sit right there until we unexpectedly call the things which are not as if they are. So then, when we do that, then the Lord will say to us, like Moses, come now, son or daughter, and his mighty power will be manifested in and through us. Oh, in John 11:40, he said, said I not unto thee, that if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? So what is it? What is the lesson in that? As far as God is concerned, believe and see is God's order. See? Believe and see is God's order. And that is irreversible. To reverse, that is to say, see and believe, right? That's, you can't reverse it. God's order is believe and see. And that is irreversible. Praise the Lord. Sometimes, we feel as though the way in which God keeps us waiting is almost cruel. See? Oh, it's keeping you, I mean, waiting for so many times, so months, so many years. And the natural mind will say, well, this is a cruel way. Yeah, God is not cruel. But he says, he is sending you and I. He is waiting on you. Praise God. You are waiting on God. And God is waiting on you. So we see, you know, so in the parable, the Lord spoke to the end that men ought to always pray and not offend. He said in Luke chapter 18 verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. See how patience go. So it's not always. So and so just sit down there, he will come to you and so. How God has yearned. I mean, looking at his heart now, for that moment when he could say, like this Moses, come now, like he come with the out of that furnace, burning off the dross. He'll call you too. Come now. Like he said to Moses. For he says to him in Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And have heard their cry, you know, by reason of the taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. He knows everything about you and I. God knows, the Lord knows, you know. So, you know, so their sorrows. God is not blind, brethren, or deaf. So, he's not ignorant or unmindful. In fact, I would say he's mindful of all. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, you see, I'm praying, so God is not deaf. God is not blind, and God is not unmindful. In fact, he is mindful of you and I. He sees, he hears, and knows all about each of us. And his fatherly heart longs for the moment when he can say to us, like Moses, come now and lead us forth into victory. He will do it, you know. So, for he has provided for you and me through our Lord Jesus Christ a deliverance so complete out of every trial, I mean every trial and test, that is a way out of it. God says so, you know. So, you know, a deliverance so complete out of every trial and test that the triumphant exit of the chain of Israel out of Egypt, laden with all the gold they got and the silver from those people, No. That, you know, and all the jewels will be a faint picture of what he will do for you, you know, as you trust him. See? So, he will lead us up, not into earthly Canaan this time, you know, in your case and my case and so on, that's in our dispensation. Rather, as the scripture has said in Ephesians 1:21, he will lead us far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. So, and seat us there with the Lord Jesus Christ to go out no more forever. Amen. Bible says, if I go away, I will come again. John 14, I believe it is. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See? So even he was praying, this way you have given unto me, and then they be with me. And wherever I am, as from that, you know, he said in John 14, I believe it is. Now, John 17. The question before us is this. Shall we not let him walk unhindered? See? If so, if you don't let him do it, there's only one way of doing it. And that is, if so, if you want to let him do it, only one way of doing it is the way of faith. Praise the Lord. That's right. We all faith. There's nothing to add to it. Just faith in God's word. Now, when we desire something from the Lord, we should search the scripture to see if it is accordance with his revealed will. If it is, and we know it is a good thing, then we are assured by his promise. So that we have one in Psalm 84 verse 11, one promise there. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. All those good things that you are asking for God to do for you, you know it according to the will of God, they will never withhold it from you. Amen? Time, immaterial. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, don't put your leg on one of God's promise and the other one in circumstances that may do that, you that thing, or even the time, maybe because it's imminent and so on. Just put your eye on God's face alone. So, and another one. So we see another one. Then we follow the direction of how to get that thing. We establish it is God's will, right? And we know it won't withhold us from us. Then how do we get it? Mark 11:24. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Another one is this, Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Another translation says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, the Bible says. So, now, the sequence is, here is the sequence. Desire, pray, believe that you receive, give thanks unto the Lord. That is the sequence. And the resting on God's faithfulness in the matter you have in your hand. Rejoice. Stamp around there on the promise and shout the victory. See? You may not feel that you can believe, you know, feel nothing has to do anything with it. Or maybe you can give thanks to the Lord and rejoice. But I tell you, you can. For God's word commands us to do it. And so we obey, you know. So feel not have to do anything with this. Whether you feel like thanking God or not, you're thanking anyway, you see. Thereafter, when you do that, the word of God says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So, shall we from this moment onward resolve, you know, having a resolve in your heart to believe what the Bible says about things and not what our senses report, where the two are at variance. If my sister agree with the word of God, that's fine. But when they are at variance, no, I stand on the word of God. And are they then sometimes in variance? Certainly. Many, many times, your senses will be in variance with what God says, right? So, Abraham's senses reported to him that he was an old man, and good as dead, right? So, to whom paternity was an absolute impossibility. Why the word of God told him that he was fruitful beyond any of his contemporaries. That's God's word. I'm talking about, you know. Why? The father of many nations. You see? So, the senses will say, well, I'm an old man, and so, you know. But God's word says, that he was more fruitful than any of his contemporaries. How many of them is the father of many nations, you know? So that's God's way of thinking. So now, when Isaac came and grew and developed into a strong manhood, right? And the fulfillment of the promise through him began to look possible and even probable to become the father of many nations. What happened? God suddenly swept him away, took Isaac away, and Abraham gave him over to death. Still firmly believing, the Bible says that he, through Isaac, was the father of many nations, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead, if need be, but not able to break his word. He knew God will not break his word. He said through Isaac, right? I will offer him. believe that God is able to raise him from the dead. Where he received him, anyway, they see God before. You see? So, you know, so he believed God. So as a rule then, we grieve God and lose tremendously by the fact that when faith has caused something into existence, even as Abraham's faith produced Isaac, we begin to revel in the thing produced, see, which is a shadow. Like I said before, it's a shadow. The reason is substance, and whatever it produces is a shadow. So, I forget all about the mighty promise that the Word of God, the living Word of God, which is the substance, gave us, and so on. So, because of this, God often has to recall his gift, whatever that is what, and so on, that we may get back to what? To the Word. And as we encourage our hearts, thereby, we rejoicingly, exultantly, yield to the shadow, shouting, you know, yield up the shadow, right? Give away the other thing, shouting and so on. Has God spoken, and shall he not make it good? And then immediately, the thing will come again, God will bring it back again. So that's how what happened to Abraham, you know. So let's leave Abraham alone. This will ramp up now. I think it will be very short, right? So, the Word of God told Joseph, talking about trial by fire. The Word of God, look at the trial of Abraham. The Word of God told Joseph that he was preeminent among his brethren. While his senses told him that he was sold as a slave into Egypt, languishing in an Egyptian prison, with his feet bound with fetters of iron. Psalm 105 verse 19 says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. See? Tried by fire, right? Tried him. The king, the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house, and ruler of all his substance. So, this is the kind of deliverance that which God has provided for you and me out again of the very state in which you find yourself right now. That is the kind of deliverance, you know, that the Lord has provided for you, for me, out of the very state and trial in which you find yourself. I find myself at this moment. Bible says, Revelation 3:18, buy of me gold tried in the fire, he said, that you may be rich. So no matter what, so like even Joseph, so he had the same kind of, you know, deliverance for you right now. So we really need to do something. He will have us come out of the furnace of testing greatly enriched by the trial. See? God will have you and mine come out of the furnace of testing greatly enriched by the trial, with a faith that can claim and obtain great things from God when you are through this trial that you are going through, or the devotion and so on. So, a great faith that will obtain great things from God. Do not trust its loving purpose by unbelief. Don't do it. You know, let's get away from that. Now, when we read through Hebrews 11 chapter, as long as that, you know, we are filled with a holy envy. You know how you envy those people? How they did great things for God in Hebrews 11 and so on. Women receive their dead, you know, children back to life again. Some quench the violence of fire. They saw the mouth of lions and so on. We say, oh, me, look at what they did and so on. Maybe we are envious of them. Well, naturally, so, you know, we do that and so on. But thank God, people, these heroes of faith have left the road they travel behind them. They're all gone now, you see, behind them. So if I get any of them, and their experiences have provided all with all sorts of finger posts and landmarks, so we can be sure that we are going that way. Is it true? And so they show us, you know, as an example and so on. So why are we having them? So our description do not teach with all they have done in Hebrews 11, all those experts. The Bible even tells us that they exhausted heaven's resources either. Did they? Did they exhaust, they can't exhaust heaven's resources with all the experts in Hebrews 11. They didn't exhaust all of heaven's resources. But far from it, we are actually told that God has provided some better things for you and I. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm reading up right now. You're just a short one. In Hebrews 11:39, you know, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not a promise. God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Mostly, they were saying that they are mostly Hebrews, right, and Jews and so on, that, you know, the Gentile bride at the end of time, you know, Bible says, without us, they cannot be made perfect. Can you see where you and I are sitting today, and so on, in God's providence? So, shall we then, in closing this morning, just a very short, you know, exhortation or something about, you know, tried by fire? Shall we let him bestow it upon us, what he has said? All heaven hands on your answer, my answer. Should we let God do all these things for us? For we occupy a center stage, whether you know it or not. There are two words watching us right now. So we occupy, you know, I answer and so on, you know. So we know, so we are in the center stage, you know. The middle of the arena is where you are, right, in this world as creation. And all these words are spectators, you know, and a host of witnesses are watching you and I as well. So what are we doing with the present moment? What should we be doing? Let us believe all the prophets have spoken. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So no matter what this morning, just in the time you need to try. I gave that two or three examples, Moses and so on. You know, God Abraham, talked about Joseph. But we see, look at the end story. They came out, yeah, God tried, they were tried, but they came out beautifully. And then God had the same thing for you. No matter what I'm going through today, God has a brighter end. See, the trial is to burn away the dross upon the gold, the gold of your faith. You know, Bible says, so let us wait there and bring God out at the right time. It will never be late, it's not hurried, but at the right time. He will bring us and you are going to have a faith greater than you have before. To do greater exploits for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How great thou art, O Lord. You love us, O Lord God. You know, infinitely loving us, Lord. Lord, we thank you. No good thing with you will go from us, because the Lord Jesus is our uprightness. We worship and adore you this day, Lord. Help us not to question you when we pass through trial. Let us look, O Lord God, at the end, O Lord God. The Bible says, no temptation, you know, come to you and I, but that is common to man. But God will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it and then glorify his name. So with this example this morning, we go here and we go and meditate upon this thing, and that we know even the trial we have today or any other time, we soon end also. Have a greater faith. Are you going to move mountains for God? Are you going to do exploits for God? They that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do excellent. We learn all these things through some of the trials we go through, that God allow us to go through. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.